Colin speaking.
Yeah, hi Colin, it's Justin Trudeau calling.
Hi Mr. Trudeau, how are you doing?
Very, very well, how are you doing?
I'm doing alright.
Good, what's it look like out there in Victoria right now?
Well, today's a pretty typical overcast, dreary day, but can't complain. This is my first winter in a while of not having too much snow around, so I can deal with that.
Yeah, we just got dumped on by here in Ottawa, Montreal, so little jealous of the West Coast right now.
Yeah, do you split your time still between Montreal and Ottawa?
Yeah. During the week, I'm in Ottawa. Weekends, home in Montreal. So it's tough, but it's one of the ways of making sure I get to spend at least a little time with my family.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, I appreciate your willingness to chat and taking the time to do this. I think there were a couple of ideas that sort of originated for me as I was running across the country, and I've sort of been involved.
Yeah, congratulations for that too.
Yeah, thanks.
Amazing exploit.
Yeah, it's I'm happy not to be running 40 to 50 kilometers every day. happy it's over, but yeah, it was a great experience. And I think from that, just having worked sort of in the field of outdoor education for the past decade now, a lot of thoughts around just that connection that students have with nature and the outside environment, and particularly in the last couple of years, just sort of really seems to be coming to the forefront the amount of time that kids are spending in front of screens. And so I think, in my world these days, research seems to sort of be dictating a lot of what we rely on in talking about this issue. And I think throughout the course of the run, just in hearing stories from, students, from teachers, from parents, and just from other Canadians that I met, I think I just wanted to explore this idea of telling stories, which in my opinion, can be just as compelling, if not even more powerful than some of the research that is out there. So I think the hope today in talking to you was just to have you share maybe a few stories and see sort of how that time spent outdoors for you has affected you throughout the years.
Well, I mean, listen, for me, obviously I was raised by a father who was very, very connected to the outdoors, and I got to learn how his relationship with the woods worked for him, which is to keep him sort of grounded and balanced, and no matter what he was involved in terms of cerebral, intellectual, busy political, people, civilization pursuits, getting away in a canoe, getting away for a long walk in the woods, climbing a mountain, going to the high Arctic, whatever it was that he could do to, totally get away from all the trappings that surround us and get back to a pure, man and nature mode was extremely important for him in terms of staying balanced. And it's become very, very much the same thing for me. How I manage to stay sane in the world I have is to make sure that I take my kids outside as often as I can, take them into the woods, go paddling with my friends and family, go camping, challenge myself against the backcountry on skis or snowboard, go rock climbing, whitewater canoeing, whatever it is, to appreciate and embrace the great outdoors we need is. The great outdoors we have is something that fundamentally I need.
Yeah, I mean, looking back on your childhood, what are some of the things you remember doing outside?
Everything from camping up at Wilberforce Falls in the Northwest Territories to paddling down the Pequannock and the Petite Nation with Bill Mason. To paddling in the Kootenays, to horseback riding through the Rockies, to heli skiing and cat skiing in some extraordinary remote areas, hiking across the tundra in the high Arctic in the land of the midnight sun, on glorious sunny days where you wouldn't realize you're not very far from the North Pole, except of course that it's a glorious sunny day at 2 a.m.
Right.
These sorts of things that give you a sense of just the scale of the nature that surrounds us, and it includes for me the times in the water, snorkeling and even scuba diving, to discover the world that surrounds us that we only literally scratch the surface of in our day to day lives.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when I was, as I went across the country, I heard lots of different stories. I would often tell, people would ask, that I met in parking lots or cashiers at the grocery store or mechanics. They'd sort of ask, why I was doing what I was doing. And once I told them, it really didn't take much prompting for them to sort of launch into their own story of spending time outside when they were young. And, consistently they talk about, when school ended, they were outside, their parents had to drag them in for dinner, and then after dinner...
You come in when the lights go on.
Yeah, exactly.
The street lights go on, yeah.
So, I mean, did your experience growing up in Ottawa and Montreal, can you resonate with that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. On the weekends or in the country or at the cottage, we'd be out till dark, every day. But even in the city, my mom lived in a small neighborhood not too far from 24 Sussex, and we used to play outside behind her house in the lane with the other kids who lived in the neighborhood, and we'd just be outside all day, and yes, outside in the city, but outside in a lane. But there was infinite things to do.
Yeah.
The idea of video games or too much TV was something we were simply not exposed to. I mean, we watched TV like other kids, but not a lot, and we were much busier with games outdoors than we were playing inside.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe the follow-up question is just how all those outdoor experiences that you had sort of growing up, that time in nature, how has it affected who you are today? Have those experiences in any way shaped who you've become?
Those experiences have shaped me in such a deep way that I have a hard time answering the question, because I don't know, what part of the core me, isn't related to those kinds of experiences with my brothers and my friends, playing outside, discovering, challenging myself, adventures, not quite Huck Finn style, but almost in many situations, where really there's you learn your own confidence, your own capacities, your own independence. When you're outside and your parents are inside or out of sight or anything, you're in situations where you're making your own decisions and you're taking chances. Can I jump over this log, or can I climb that tree, or can I can we really dig a pit that'll be able to hide us from our friends / enemies in the game we're playing? I mean, these kinds of achievements, real achievements, not virtual achievements of killing monsters or stealing cars or whatever, building levels or whatever video game realities too many people get wrapped up with now, were extremely defining for me. My sense of confidence and independence as a person comes from the fact that I'm fairly comfortable that you could dump me in the woods pretty much anywhere in the world, and I would be able to equip myself at least honorably.
Right. So, I mean, with that, do you see a shift happening in the past few years, in the past decade, with the amount of time that kids are spending outside?
Well, there have been studies that have myself, when I was a high school teacher, I worked for a while in an inner city school where I was really pleased to be at a school where the principal was a huge believer in outdoor ed, and he actually took the whole school would take time to go on a 3 or 4 day canoe trip, and that was rare, and it was spectacular to see the impact that doing this thing had on too many kids who had never had the opportunity to go out camping, to go out, and learn that sort of self-reliance and in French we say débrouillardise, a capacity to get by your own means.
Right. Yeah, and it's funny. I mean, you talk about your time as a teacher and sort of that support for outdoor ed within the school, which is great. I would say, I think our education system has predominantly revolved around students learning at a desk, sort of enclosed by four walls, sort of your typical classroom. Yet all the research that's coming out shows so many benefits from students spending time outside, whether, it's that increased academic performance, better social skills, improved character traits. In your time, in your time spent teaching, just, asking if our education system can play a bit more of a significant role in having a learning environment that sort of extends beyond that of a desk.
Well, I think there's a natural tendency toward that right now of saying, look, I mean, we have all this technology. We have to start recognizing that students learn differently. And I think it's wonderful that we're bringing more computers and virtual learning into the classroom and tweaking the way we do things because there's a lot positive to be done with that. But I think it's also an opportunity, since we're doing that, to not miss the chance to counterbalance that by saying, okay, if we're going to bring in more technology, we also have to get them to come outside more often. And if we properly start getting them away from the desk and partially to the computer screen and partially to the woods, we're going to be able to be much more effective in how we raise young Canadians.
For sure. And I mean, I know that some of your work is in post-secondary education. I'm not sure to what extent, but, at the teacher college level, are there, do you think there are some opportunities in training future teachers to not only bring that technology into the classroom, but to have more of an emphasis on that experiential learning?
I would hope so. I mean, I studied education at UBC, and what was sort of the perspective was, outdoor ed was a niche for those who already did it, and it wasn't really considered an integral part of a mainstream educational program. And I don't know, but I can imagine that there would be a number of faculties of education around the country that do have an emphasis on outdoor ed, but that they would be sort of a specialized area and not the mainstream. And I think what we'll be able to do in terms of awakening people to environmental awareness, but also to the idea of an individual as a steward of the world they're part of and as important, faced with a community and a world that's bigger than us, I would like to see it much more included in our educational expectations for teachers. But it takes resources, it takes commitment, it takes time, it takes all sorts of things that unfortunately are not always easy to get. So we have to start making putting an emphasis and agreeing that this is a priority, that we make sure that our kids learn to play outside.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you talk about sort of being stewards. I guess, I've heard several times, it's even in sort of one of the commercials that air on Canadian TV, just in terms of Canada having one of the best backyards in the world. And so, over the past year, I saw a good chunk of that running across Canada, and you've traveled sort of Canada extensively. Although more and more people are moving to urban centers, how important is it to be stewards of that backyard and promote a meaningful connection to it?
Because over 80% of us are living in urban centers now, it becomes all the more important that we realize that that, you know, Canada is not shaped by its cities nearly as much as it is shaped by the places between and beyond those cities. And understanding that and, you know, having a visceral connection with the fact that, you know, water doesn't come from the tap, it comes from a drainage basin and an ecosystem. You know, food doesn't come, you know, shrink-wrapped from the supermarket, it comes from the land, from farms. You know, the fresh air we breathe is generated by the boreal forest. But, you know, that so much of, you know, what we accept as under our control within the narrow confines of the city are actually totally dependent on natural and natural services provided to us by the ecosystems out there. And the more people are mindful of that, the more they're going to be empowered to making smart decisions that lead us to be healthier, not just as a community, but as a country.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to ask too many sort of questions that were political in nature. I think the only one that comes to mind, I mean, there's a movement that I'm familiar with in the U.S. called Let's Move, and it's spearheaded by the First Lady, Michelle Obama. And, you know, it attempts to get kids more active. I guess just the question for you is, what role, you know, is the Canadian government playing, or what role could the Canadian government be playing to sort of deal with the increasing rates of, you know, obesity, diabetes, and poor general health in younger Canadians?
Well, I think one of the things that the government needs to realize that we have a potential role in is education and awareness and facilitating the development of programs that will, you know, keep people healthier rather than treating them when they're sick. I mean, it's a lot less expensive to encourage people to you know, change their dietary habits than it is to provide them insulin for the rest of their life. I mean, there are huge challenges around the fact that we wait too long. We're not nearly proactive enough. And I think all levels of government, particularly the national level, which has sort of an overview mandate, can go a long way towards setting the tone. You know, that we are a society that considers health as a goal and not just as something to be treated.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when I talk to, you know, students, I wouldn't try to inundate them with a lot of the research, but I thought it was important for them to know that, I mean, especially teenagers, statistically, they're spending about 53 hours a week in front of screens of some sort, and that's outside of school hours. And, you know, but I'd always say, I mean, they really don't have great role models with a lot of us adults who seem to be connected almost 24/7. You know, I know that you're an active guy. Are you still conscious of that time that you spend in front of screens?
I am, but it becomes all the more important for me, therefore, to, you know, put aside the BlackBerry or the computer and make sure that I, you know, just go outside, take the kids to the park, you know, get out and breathe some fresh air. My wife is wonderful for that. She's a huge child of nature, and she will react too strongly. Even if I'm just sort of sitting on the couch reading a book instead of going outside, she'll get me off my feet and onto my feet and out there.
Right. As far as I understand, I think your kids are still pretty young, no?
Yeah, 3 and 4 years old, but they're already very used to walking in the woods. They are half walking and half being carried for the second half.
Right.
You know, they love it, and no, it's something that is very, very important to me.
And I mean, as a parent, I mean, obviously, you know, they're probably not surfing the internet yet or texting on any cell phones. But I mean, do you find yourself and your wife having conversations yet about that approach down the road with sort of dealing with the amount of time that they spend in front of screens?
Well, we're having conversations about that right now because, you know, maybe they're not surfing the internet, but boy, oh boy, can they ever work the iPad.
Right.
You know, and no, my two-year-old actually showed me how to do something on the iPad that I'm the tech geek of the family, that I didn't know how to do.
Right.
So it was very, very, you know, impressive that she knew something intuitively on it that I didn't. I mean, so technology is everywhere, and I want them to be smart users of technology, but I don't want them to be slaves to it. I mean, I think that's the really important part.
Right. Do you find yourself, are your kids at the age yet where you've started sharing some stories with them from your sort of experiences outside with your family growing up?
Little bits, but not too much yet.
Right.
Not too much. We're going to get into that, but I'm going to wait till they're a little older.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I already have a list in my mind. The first time they get to shoot rapids in the bow of the boat. The first time they get to figure out where the house is when we're quote unquote lost in the woods and they have to guide us home. All these things that my father did for us when we were kids, I'm looking forward to doing with our kids.
For sure. Maybe just a couple more questions. I mean, I think, I find, especially in a lot of the research that I read and the way that it's presented in the media, a lot of it seems doom and gloom. I mean, I always, I think this idea that health professionals are predicting that this younger generation won't outlive their parents' generation, and when you look at sort of the whole concept of human progress, that life expectancy is a pretty good indicator. So to sort of sense that we're doing a 180 and heading backwards isn't too encouraging. But a lot of that doom and gloom is sort of, that's the way it's presented. I think for you, is there a sense of hope that you find in other places? Where is that sense of hope?
I have a tremendous sense. I think we have a generation of young people who are very, very plugged in, are very aware of what the world is, what the world is coming around them, and are getting closer to the moment where they're going to wake up. Obviously, we need to have strong role models. We need to, as parents, encourage them to take on their autonomy and take action. But I know there's a tremendous hunger to rethink everything amongst young people, and I'm very confident that enough of them will get it, that they will shape the world for the better.
Right. Well, maybe just the last question is, you clearly have that strong connection to nature, and you've alluded to the fact that it's profoundly affected you in terms of who you've become. What can you sort of, are there any words of encouragement for younger Canadians in terms of spending more time outside?
Well, listen, I mean, one of the things is that the opportunities to do that are so much greater now. I mean, you look at what kind of gear is out there. You compare the kind of hiking gear or climbing gear or canoeing gear or the opportunities to go out and raft and do things outside that so few of us had when I was a kid are now just available if you want to. I mean, every ski resort seems to have a nature trail or a zip line somewhere in the woods where you get to look at the canopy of the trees or what have you. I mean, there are tremendous opportunities, and people should simply be seeking them out and enjoying them.
Yeah, for sure.
And there are less barriers than ever before to enjoying the outdoors.
Well, again, I appreciate your time. It's great speaking with you, and I hope things go well in Ottawa over the next few months.
Thanks so much, Colin.
All right.
Great. Cheers.
Take care.
Bye. Bye.